You're listening to a message from New Life Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
Well, they're having me back, so it's good to be here again. And I am so privileged to speak to you guys and be with you. And it's cool that Pastor Ron is at East Hill. That's the church that I was at before I came here. So it's just like a family Sunday. Pretty cool. Let's get started. I want to pray. If those of you who've been watching the news, kind of seen the storms going on in Texas, we want to cover those people and their safety with all the storms and things that are happening. And I've got friends who had to cancel church this morning because they meet in schools and all the public schools are shut down. Nobody's allowed in the buildings because of the storms. So let's start off in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for loving us, for letting us be here today, for giving us another day. And Lord, I pray for all the people in Texas experiencing the storms, God, that you would just cover them, show them as your you're their protector, Lord. And we thank you for giving us this protection, God, and taking care of them. In your name, amen. Man. Well, this morning, I kind of want to start off a little bit of a family meeting and just kind of do some family business. And I know sometimes when you hear that, first, if you're new or visiting, you know, you may go, whoa, oh boy, here comes the family meeting. This is no better time than to see who you're around than to sit and watch kind of a little family business, right? And for those of you that are part of our family, this is like an exciting family meeting. This is like a celebratory family. I know sometimes it's like, oh, here we go, family meeting. What's he gonna, you know, who did what this time, right? That's not what this is. This is actually to celebrate you guys because we had camp last month in July, and I just want to thank you guys so much for your generosity. You guys gave above and beyond, and it was so impressive. I told other churches about other pastors how incredible of a church I get to be at. Is we gave over $3,000 in scholarships to students this last year, and that's amazing, because what that also meant was that we got to send 28 students and 6 leaders this year, which is over double the 13 students and 1 leader we sent last year. And so just so cool to see how God is moving. And at camp, we had such an incredible time. I love getting to hang out with our students and be there with them. I mean, we saw some of our students prophesying over each other, prophesying over other students, other leaders. Some of them were called to ministry. Some of them were just walking out in who God's called them to be. And it was so great to watch that and hearing from God. We got people saying they've never heard from God before, and they're hearing for God for the first time. And what that means is that happening at camp is a catalyst for what God's going to do this season in our students and amongst that. So your generosity allows us to be a catalyst in our community. And so I just want to thank you for that so much, because without you, we would have had to leave. The price of the camp is about $300. So that means we would have had to leave over 10 students home. So thank you from the bottom of my heart as a pastor. Thank you for letting me bring these students. I want to show you a quick video to just kind of let you see what camp actually looks like. I know sometimes a picture's worth 1,000 words, so a video must be worth 1,000,000. So here we go. Your voice tonight. Feet on the skies above.
After cabin time, God spoke to me for the first time, and it was just amazing. Like, my mind was, like, blown. Like, I never thought I'd have that experience, and it was really cool.
This week, Jesus told me to get in the fight and pursue what I love to do, and I'm excited to see what he's going to do in my life and through my life.
This week, God showed me that I'm worth more than what I've been telling myself, and that I can be used more for him and to serve others.
So really, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Without you guys bringing our students to that, wouldn't be possible. So that was camp, and it was incredible. And I've got a few other things I'm going to share from camp later on in my message. But I also want to give you kind of a youth update, what's going on, because, you know, it's always good to let everybody know. Communication is key to the family operating as it should be, right? And so Sunday morning, starting October 14th, we are going to be doing our full youth services. So we're going to have worship. We've been over the last year joining you guys in worship, and now we're ready to launch and do our own worship and small groups and teachings. And so, which is really exciting because we lose about 15 minutes in the transition, because I don't know if you've ever tried to herd cats, but that's about what trying to herd all the students are like. Students, I love you guys. You're awesome. Awesome, but you know it's true. But next week we're gonna be in here for worship. Then we're gonna go over like we have been doing. But then for the series, This Is Us, we're gonna be in here because youth, we are a part of us, and so it's really strategic that as a church we know who we are and where we're going and what's in our future, because it is so important. And you know, so 2 weeks we'll be here for This Is Us, and really excited about that, really excited about the series, and knowing what's going to be going on. And then throughout the year there will be strategic Sundays where we're going to be over here, because I do believe it is important for our youth to be a part of our main body and know that there's not just two separate churches, that we're all one and we're family and we're going to do things together. So that's kind of what's going on with Sunday mornings. And anybody from 6th grade to 12th grade, you're invited to join. 6th graders, you have a choice. If you want to go back to the kids area, that's up to you. You're as parents, you can make that call, or if they want to come up and join us, we're open to that. And then also for youth group, typically over the last few years, it has been on Thursday nights. We have decided that we're moving to Wednesday nights. And which is really exciting, because my heart is to serve our families and to have families come Wednesday, and then to come Thursday in your already busy life creates a lot of extra commuting and driving around and dropping and schedule coordinating. So we're going to be moving to Wednesday nights, and I'm really excited about that. We're going to start, doors are going to open at 6:30, we'll start at 7, and we will do our best to be done by 8. But parents, I just want to let you know that you are invited, if we are going long, to come in and see what's happening. My doors are open to you guys, because I believe you need to see what God's doing in your students. So if we do go long, come see, come visit. Even if we don't go long, even if you just want to come stop by, we would love for you to see what God's doing in your students. And we are really committed to your students. I have an incredible team of leaders for Wednesday nights. They're the best in the world. They come, they sacrifice sometimes eating dinner to be there, some rest time. A lot of them work full-time jobs, and they're there to serve your students, and so it's incredible. But you're invited to join us too. If you want to join on my leadership team and serve our students, let me know. We would love to have you either on Wednesday nights or Sunday mornings, because one of the things we're going to be doing on Sundays is we're going to be doing small groups. So we're going to talk, we're going to go through the message. We'll typically go through what you're going through here in a shorter, condensed version so that we can have a small group and talk about it in dialogue. What does it actually look like in our lives? So just a lot of really, really cool stuff. And I just believe that God is calling us in this next season to be incredibly missional in our community, making a difference. And so I really believe that God's going to do something awesome and amazing in our youth. And I'm so excited to be a part of a church that loves that and supports that. So that's just kind of a quick update, and thank you for you guys for being so amazing. Which brings me to my message this morning, which is titled, You're Invited. All right, so you're invited to open up your Bibles to Matthew 28, 18 through 20. See how I did that there? Invitations. I love, anybody love getting invited places? Like a good invitation, like to something awesome, right? It's great, because it means that, one, somebody's really excited to have you over. Like, they're doing something that they want you to see, that they want you to take part of, and then also that they want you there, because it's good to have your presence requested, right? You know, even if you can't make it, it's nice to know you're wanted. Because showing up uninvited somewhere, that's like one of the weirdest feelings in the world, right? Like, you feel, it's so vulnerable, right? If you've ever shown up anywhere uninvited, it's like, everybody's looking at me like I don't belong here. This is awkward. But the truth is, nobody's looking at you like you don't belong. Like, you belong. If you're there, you belong. And the same is true here. If you're here today, you belong. You're a part of our family. We're so glad that you're here. This is one of the best communities of faith I've seen, and welcome to it. One of the things about invitations is sometimes we get a lot of them. I'm a youth pastor, and I've been a youth pastor for almost 10 years now, and graduation season as a youth pastor is a logistical nightmare. There's so many invitations, and the thing about graduation parties is, like, if you don't show up, it's like you're communicating the message that you're not trying to communicate. Like, sometimes you just can't make it all fit, right? And it's kind of like life. Like, we can't make it all fit. Like, sometimes we've got all these invitations to do all this stuff, and we can't make it fit because there's only one of us, and time is of, you know, it runs on the same spectrum, right? It doesn't stop or slow down. It's, we get 24 hours a day. How you use it is how you use it. And as I was getting ready for this and believing what God is going to do in our season, as especially as a church and as a youth group, is that we're going to be invited to go out and make disciples. That we're supposed to not just come to church and hear the word, but we're supposed to hear the word to be equipped for the work of the ministry which exists outside of these walls. And so I'm going to invite you, if you open up your Bibles to Matthew 28, 18, this is where this invitation comes from. Go ahead and throw that up there. And Jesus came up to them, speaking, "All authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth." This is a crucial statement here that Jesus is saying. I have all authority. Like, what Jesus is saying, what I'm saying to you, I am allowed to speak to you. I am commissioning you. I am the one who's got the authority here. And I'm, if you've ever been given authority over something, you know that helps you walk in confidence. So know that what Jesus is telling us here allows you to walk in confidence. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you to do, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. And this invitation from Jesus here to go and make disciples, I just want to let you know that you're qualified to go and make disciples. If you have a pulse and you've been called by Jesus, you are qualified to make disciples. I know sometimes we can feel like maybe we're unqualified. Maybe the things in our life have disqualified us from being able to go out and make disciples. But I believe that Jesus has called us and he'll equip us. And Jesus set the perfect example of how to go out and make disciples. I believe that making disciples and being a disciple, it all starts with an invitation. It starts with being invited. And I see that through the life of Jesus because, I mean, if we go back, you know, we read the Christmas story, right, when Jesus was born. What did they call Jesus? They call him Emmanuel, which is God with us. But what he does early on in his life is he invites the shepherds and the wise men to come and see, come to participate in the birth of Jesus and come and see what God is about to do and what is in store for the future. And then we see him coming down, being God incarnate, and being with us. And what I love is that Jesus has not called us to do anything that he was not willing to do. As a leader, I believe that I can't ask anything, and as a pastor, I can't ask anything of anyone that I'm not willing to do myself. For example, at camp, we play, you know, sometimes at camp you play these like messy eating games and gross things and it's really weird. Well, one night I show up and I'm not in charge of these late night activities. Like these are not my idea, by the way. And I show up and they said, Colin, come here. They're like, look, we're going to make them eat a tarantula. Apparently on Amazon you can buy freeze-dried edible tarantulas. I highly recommend not putting that in your shopping cart. But I said, so you guys have all eaten a tarantula then, right? And they're like, no, we're going to make the kids. And I said, all right, let's do this. We all broke off legs and we ate tarantula. It's disgusting. But I felt way more comfortable asking students to do that because I can say, you know what, I've done that. And you know what? That's what Jesus did with us. Is he's like, I'm going to do this first so you can see and watch and experience how I do it. So then you can go and do it. I'm not asking anything of you that I haven't done myself. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace and help in the time of need. He's been here. He's done it. He's experienced it all. He got the t-shirt and he went back to heaven. And while Jesus was here, his whole life was one big invitation. Everything that Jesus did as I was studying and trying to get ready for this, you're invited, I just realized he invited everything Jesus did was an invitation. You know, at his birth, bringing the shepherds and the wise men to come and see. At 12 years old, he was inviting the religious leaders to come and read the scriptures better for a clearer understanding. He's inviting them to see that God is love, that God is mercy, God is grace, and that there's more than just the religious practices of the day. And so then we also see the disciples. He invited them to come follow. It wasn't just like Jesus started walking and they're like, what's going on over there? Jesus actually stopped and said, hey, drop what you're doing. Come with me. It's going to change the world. And then we see Zacchaeus, the story of Zacchaeus, right? He invited Zacchaeus to be seen, to let him know that, hey, I see you. And then Jesus did what any good friend would do and invited himself over to dinner. And let me tell you that those people whose house you can invite yourself over to are the most important people in your life. Because you know what? Jesus went there. He invited himself over to have a true and honest conversation and let Zacchaeus know that you're loved, that your sins are behind you, I care about you, and that you don't have to continue on life like you've been living. There's more to it than getting money. And I think if you have people in your life that you can invite over and intrude on a little bit, one, they're good for you, because that means there's people you're safe and feel comfortable with, and also that you're good for them. And sometimes we can bring good things and let them know we love them, we care for them. It's just so important to have people in your life like that. The woman who was caught in adultery. Jesus, that's a crazy story, and I don't have time to get all into it. But think about this woman who was caught in adultery. Like, I don't know how they caught her or what, but they caught her in adultery, and they're getting ready to stone her. And Jesus stops, and he says, wait a minute. I'm going to invite you guys to take a look on the inside before you throw a stone. And one by one, what happened was the accusers left. And what was left was an invitation from Jesus to the woman to say, hey, stand up. You're no longer accused. And go forward and live. Go and sin no more. You see, Jesus will never call you back to look at your mistakes. He'll always call you forward to the future he has for you. And that's just so important to remember, that he's always going to call you forward. He's never going to call you back into something that you've already gone through. The cross meant that everybody who believes in him was invited to come and spend eternity with him. This invitation of eternal life, so amazing and so incredible. To even think that God would want me in heaven forever is incredible. Which means the same is true for you, that you're invited to be with Jesus, to be with God for eternity through his son. The resurrection invited people to not be held down by their past, which means we claim the victory. You're invited to walk in victory in your life. You're invited to walk in confidence that you have the victory. You know, if you've ever, gotten into a fight, right? Like, you say, I don't have any of my junior high boys aren't in here, but normally this would be a place where I'd call one of them up. But imagine a sixth grade boy, okay? Right here, can you guys all just like picture that little sixth grade boy? If him and I were to get in a fight, I'm pretty confident, right? I might win. Like, you know, just, I'm not going to punch, don't worry, I'm not going to punch your kids. but if we were to get in a fight, like, I'm not going to be scared by that. I'm not going to be intimidated by that fight because I'm pretty sure I'm going to get the victory. With God, you're guaranteed the victory. So you can walk through life with that confidence that nothing's going to take you out, that nothing can hold you down, that no matter what you're going through, God is going to propel you into a future where you walk in victory. The things that you're experiencing aren't going to last forever because he's promised us the victory. And then lastly, you're invited to go and make disciples. Again, that Matthew 28:18-20 scripture says, go and make disciples. You're invited to go and make disciples. And he doesn't say, once your life's figured out, once you're perfect, once all of your sins taken care of, once everything in your life lines up and is in order, you can go out and make disciples. He says, it doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter where you've been, you're going to go and make disciples. And so I want to give us three ways we're invited to invite. And what I mean by that is we're invited to invite others to Jesus. You're invited to invite others. Last night I got invited over to a friend's house to watch a little boxing match, and you may have heard that went on last night, and it was funny because I got invited, and my buddy texts me, he's like, come on over, and we're going to have fun, we're going to have some food, and I was like, yes, that's awesome. Well, then I talked to a friend of mine who's like, oh, I'm not going to be able to go, I'm not going to be able to watch it, I don't have a place to watch it. I said, oh, you can come. And he's like, well, do you need to ask your buddy? And I was like, no. And then he comes to me and goes, well, hey, like, my girlfriend wants to come, and my buddy wants to come. And he's like, it's not going to be too many people, like, is it too much? I was like, no, bring him. And I didn't talk to my buddy. But he's like family to me, and I knew that I had the authority to invite them. When I texted him and said, hey, I'm bringing a few extra people, he said, no problem, we got plenty of food. And we came over, we watched the fight, it was awesome, it was amazing. But you have the authority to invite others to Jesus. Just like I had the authority to invite my friends and not worry about if it was okay or not. Like, I'm just going to let you know right now, you're invited to invite. So you have that authority, walk in that authority. The first way that you're invited to invite others is to be present. You are invited to be present. First, to be present with Jesus. If we are present with him, we will always see transformation in our life. We will always see things change and grow. And when you do that, you experience the fullness of what God intended your life to look like. When you're present with Jesus, you experience his fullness. And the ministry of proximity and presence is one of the most powerful ways that we can show people Jesus. You see, if we just gathered here every Sunday and then went to our homes and then came back every Sunday, we might get sick of each other, right? Like, have you ever been on a long trip with people? You've been on a long trip with people where, like, I've been on several missions trips when I was in high school. You know, at the beginning, everybody's like, yeah, woohoo, we're so excited, I love you, you're amazing. By the end of it, it's like, don't touch me. Get away from me. I don't want to see you right now. I know we're in the same van, sitting next to each other. I still don't want to see you. Look the other way. But if we go out and live our lives, we're in proximity with people all the time. In your jobs, and maybe you're dropping kids off of school, at practices, and things like that. Proximity is the most important thing because it's how Jesus did ministry. Jesus didn't do ministry from the synagogue and tell people, come and see me. He came and saw them. He came and visited them. Matthew 5:14-16 says, you're the light of the world, a city set on a hill, and it cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that your good works and to see your good works and may glorify God, your Father who is in heaven. Your presence in the lives of people around you is the most important sermon someone may ever hear. Your presence, your love, your kindness, your caring of them. They may never set foot in a church. There may be people in your life that may never want to, but that doesn't mean they can't experience Jesus. Because your life and letting Jesus, once you spend time with Jesus, you can go out and be a light to the world. And, you know, what does it say I think it's Acts, it says that they looked at James and John, Peter, James, and John, and they saw that he had been with Jesus, even though they were unschooled and ordinary men, right? Like, I think about that, and I'm like, man, like, I'm pretty ordinary, but with God, I'm extraordinary. The same is true for you. You may think you're ordinary, but with God, you're extraordinary. Nothing says you love people than doing life with them. So important that we do life with people. Not just Christians and not just Jesus followers, but people who need Jesus. Because if we're going to be a light, we've got to be a light to people who need it, right? I gathered with a group of pastors over the last week, and one of the things a friend of mine was saying, he said, I've been hanging out with the same guy for 7 years, and he's an atheist. And I get so discouraged that he's not going to get to know Jesus. But in this time we were talking, he said, but over the last couple months, you know what? He's finally started asking questions. And what that tells me is that we don't have to worry about the results. We live in a culture where it's like results, results, results. Like, maybe you're spending time with somebody who you want to come reach to Jesus and nothing's changing and you're getting frustrated. Maybe it's somebody in your life and you're getting so frustrated. Let me tell you that God doesn't give up on them. So neither should you. Your presence is so important to people. Your presence in those who need Jesus will change their life forever. Because like I said, your life is the most important sermon they may ever hear. You're invited to be an encouragement. Just a hint, you can't encourage people you aren't around. So well, that goes back to the ministry of presence. Encouragement is incredible and changes lives. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are, as you also are doing." Which we need more people being an encouragement. I don't know if you've ever had a bad day. Anybody ever had a bad day? A few of you. The rest of you are liars. At camp, I was having a rough time. Just something like some. This is silly, but some activities didn't go the way, like they were kind of boring and they didn't go the way that I wanted them to. And I was getting kind of grumpy and kind of frustrated. And I was like, nothing's working out. And da da da. You know, I'm getting soup. And it's kind of mopey. And the speaker, our speaker at our high school camp, told all of, and I was just kind of feeling, I mean, it's weird the way that the enemy will work, right? He started attacking me and letting me know I'm not a good youth pastor and all these things. Like, all these things just started coming up out of nowhere because a game didn't go the way, you know, that I wanted to. Silly. But the speaker had said, "Hey, why don't you write an encouraging note to your youth pastor?" And I swear somebody started cutting onions in the back row. Because I was reading these, "You're an amazing pastor. I'm so thankful for you in my life. Thank you for leading me. Thank you for that," you know, just like thanking me for all these things that I had no idea that I was doing. But, and then what happened was something broke because I was being encouraged. Because that's what the body of Christ is called to do. We're called to build people up, not tear people down. Not people know about their inadequacies or their sins, but let them know that they're amazing, they were created by God, and that they have an incredible purpose that will be fulfilled. We need more people encouraging, right? We need to be an encouragement to those around us. What I also love about the scripture is it says, "Just as you also are doing." Like, you're already encouraging people. Keep doing it. Like, it's not a new idea to go out and build up one another. So I want to challenge you this week. Build one another up. Find somebody to encourage. Maybe there's somebody, actually as I'm speaking, maybe there's somebody that just popped in your head like, hey, they need some encouragement. They could really use it. Let me tell you, there's no better way than to bring people to Christ than to build them up and encourage them to be closer to Jesus. Right? If they're built up, they're going up. Encourage. Everybody's running a race, and we're all going in the same direction. So let's encourage one another in that. And lastly, you're invited to minister. You're invited into ministry. And ministry, it is wherever you are at, whatever you do for a job or for employment, it's your school. Ephesians 2:10 says, "God has made us what we are and given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ages ago, he planned that we should spend these lives helping others." The Bible says 58 times, "Love one another, care for one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, help one another. Counsel one another, support one another, and on and on and on." It's the mutual ministry of every believer in the family of God that to every other believer in the family of God. That's what God meant for us, is to go out and love one another, care for one another, encouraging one another. Ministry happens in the context that you live. I don't know what your life looks like, but what I do know is God has strategically placed you there to be an inviter, to give invitations to get to know him. A friend of mine who I was privileged enough to spend a lot of time with in college, his name is Jerry Cook, and one of the most important things he ever said to me, he said, "Colin, wherever you are, there he is. He's with you. So wherever you are, Jesus is with you. And he will give you the strength, he'll give you the courage, he'll give you what you need. Scripture tells us that we'll lack nothing in him." to go out and invite others. So I'll tell you, if you've been sitting on the bench waiting to be invited to invite others, consider this your invitation to go out and make disciples who make disciples. Because God cares for you, He loves you, He's always going to be there for you. We need to go out and let others experience that. So go out, be present where you are on purpose. Sometimes we can be physically present but checked out. I'd encourage you to look at every day, everything you do as an opportunity to reach somebody for Christ. Because you never know when and where God's going to use you to encourage those around you. If you can be an encouragement to people, it will be a game changer in their life. Because I don't know, maybe you've grown up and nobody's ever encouraged you, and maybe there was a time where somebody said one thing, and you know what? Changes everything. And you could be that for somebody else. And then to go out and minister. You're a minister. Go and do ministry. Go and make disciples. Invite people to church. Invite people to Jesus. Invite them over to your house for Bible study. Invite them over to your house for coffee. It doesn't even have to be a Bible study. It can just be coffee. Because you know what? In relationship, we're transformed. In relationship with Jesus and relationship with others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for who you are and what you're doing in all of our lives. And God, I pray right now, we invite your Spirit to come down on this place and every person here, God, that you would give them the boldness to live like you've called them to. God, you give them the boldness to witness to people. God, and that you would help them be creative in the ways that they witness. And God, I just lift up this body right now. God, anyone who is ailing, anyone who is feeling weak and tired and worn out, God, would you just encourage them, God? Would you be the lifter of their hands? God, I thank you so much for this incredible church. God, that we would go out and we would make disciples who make disciples. In your name, amen. Amen. Well,
thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.